Enlighten My Loafers. I'm your host, Brett White, and I'm a reporter producer for Decider.com, which is a TV and movies website, and this podcast is not about either of those things, except kind of today, in a way. This is, podcast is about style and personal fashion and clothes and, you know, exploring your outer looks. This is going off the rails, but it is kind of TV related, because today I have with me a fantastic designer that you know from Project Runway seasons 11 and 13, and then also a season of All Stars, but All Stars is a whole other beast. Won't even get into it. Amanda Valentine.
Hi.
Hi.
Don't mind my dogs in the background. They're,
oh, please. I
love time home.
Your dogs are getting a whole lot of time with you, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Right now.
Yeah, too
so
much.
How is it going in Nashville right now?
Well, you know, Nashville's kind of had a little bit of a 1-2 punch. We had a tornado a couple of weeks ago.
that
was pretty legit. Unfortunately, in my neighborhood, I came out of it with just some minor roof damage, and two blocks away is a whole different story. So I'm feeling extremely grateful. Extremely.
It kind of reminds me of the time, like this was like 10 years ago when the big flood happened in Tennessee, but then the next day is when they found that unexploded bomb in Times Square. And things always, like, horrible natural disasters happen in Nashville, and then something immediately always comes after it to, like, overshadow. And it's like, no, Nashville is still, there's still buildings destroyed.
Yeah, that's kind of the case, honestly. we're used to it. We're not showy people. It's fine. It's fine.
Yeah.
We'll be fine.
But I'm really happy to get to talk to you because, I love Project Runway, obviously. I just wrote I ranked every single season finale runway show.
I can't even imagine how much work that was.
It was a lot.
I loved it. I loved going through it, and thank you for including me. I really can't wrap my head around how hard that must have been.
Yeah, it was a lot. Like, when I pitched it, I was like, listen, I've already watched all the finales and ranked them myself.
Right.
So, like, I pitched it with, like, I've done most of the work just to try and get them to just say, like, go and do it.
Yeah.
But then it was like, well, I'm not going to write entries for every single one. And then my husband was like, you could write a sentence. And I'm like, oh, God, I could just write a sentence for every 159. Oh, God. But I put you at number 3, which
woo-hoo!
I hope is not awkward.
Oh, my God. No, that's incredible. No, I'm thrilled. Are you kidding me? Like, that's incredible.
Yeah. After Kelly Dempsey, who was number 2, who was on my podcast last season, and Mondo Guerra, number 1. Who I'm still working on.
Yeah, I get it, man.
But, like, we'll get to it. We'll get to it. I want to start with, way back at the beginning. What is your origin story with, like, clothes? Aside from just, like, having to wear them as a human being.
Right, like every other human being. Well, I grew up, I'm the youngest of 5 children, so I grew up in a big family, which means that... And we weren't just endlessly wealthy. And so that just means I grew up with a lot of hand-me-downs. We shopped at thrift stores. Mm-hmm. And so I learned at a really young age how to kind of alter things. My mom is just a prolific seamstress on it. She's really, really gifted. And so she made our clothing as well.
Oh,
and
wow.
So I just took to it. And, you know, every fall when I was younger... we would go to the fabric store and pick out our pattern and pick out our fabric and, you know, and then it's at a certain age, I think I was like 8, I thought, well, I can do this. I want to do it. And no one else in the family had really gotten into it. And so my mom was thrilled.
Finally took 4 other kids. And now I finally,
I know everybody else was like, that's stupid.
But you come from a big musical family too. So like,
Yeah, that's true too. And I always played, I mean, if I wasn't a designer, I'd probably be in a band. I've been in bands. I was in bands most of my teens and 20s. And then I kind of, you know, you get busy. But if I wasn't doing this, I'd be doing that for sure.
You have you have a sister that's a hairdresser as well, or a stylist?
No, I have a sister. I have a sister who's an actress and comedian.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah. You know, no big deal.
It's just a talented bunch. Brady Bunch, right?
Well, we were given free rein. Like whatever we were into, my parents were like, yeah, that's cool. Be into it, but be really good at it. So, you know, my brother started taking guitar lessons really young. I started taking sewing lessons actually after school when I was in junior high. Huh. And yeah, we all just kind of got into what we were into. And my parents did a really good job encouraging it and saying, yeah, that's cool. Just be good at it and figure out how to make a living, you know, like, yeah. Okay, figure it out.
Well, yeah. One of the things that I notice about you, maybe of any other designer Project Runway, you were always very clear about like, that's my girl. Like, I know who my girl is. It was kind of like, if you had like a t-shirt and a catchphrase, it would be that, like, that's totally my girl.
Yeah.
When did you become your girl, or when did you figure out what your girl was, or the kind of girl that you want to dress?
Gosh, I think that I always subconsciously knew who she was, and it really wasn't until I was on the show that I was forced to define it.
Yeah.
And I was, you know, I was lucky enough the first time I was on Project Runway, I kind of was, you know, trying to show off and trying to do everything I could do. I was trying to show all the bells and whistles and wasn't really thinking about the most important thing on that show, which I think is showing your voice.
Yeah, it's all voice.
It's all voice. And it's not, you know, the best sewer and the best pattern maker doesn't always win, often doesn't win at all.
Yeah.
And so I, you know, once I realized that the second time around, I thought, oh, I just need to kind of show my universe. You know?
Yeah, and for people that haven't watched the show, like, your universe, how do you just describe your universe? Because I feel like, I can't remember what I wrote about it, like, cool hippie, like,
yeah,
hippie,
I get
rock,
that a lot.
But it's very distinctly Nashville, in my opinion.
Yeah, because what I like about Nashville, and I actually, when I moved here, I had no interest or knowledge in country music at all.
Yeah.
I don't know just because I work in that industry a lot with a lot of the artists now, I know what's going on in that world.
I used to,
but I really didn't.
In college I had like a TV production major at MTSU, and so I did a lot of country music stuff. I had to work like all the festivals and things, and I would my job once was to drive the golf carts from the area where all the tour buses are directly to the stage. And so like George Strait, I knew who he was. Brooks and Dunn, I knew who they were. They were like, go pick up Dierks Bentley. And so they said pick up at Dierks Bentley's bus. And so I went up, this big guy gets in, and he's like, hey, and I'm like, hey, I'm Brett. He's like, yeah, I'm Dierks. And like, I was like,
he's
oh,
really nice.
I had
he's
no
a really
idea.
Sweet guy. Yeah. Yeah.
But like,
well, they don't care.
No, yeah, I think he might have been like, he did not care literally at all, but I was so mortified. It's just like, oh, I should know who this person is.
Yeah, whatever. That's also the beauty of Nashville. It's like, it's not like, I don't know. I think in New York, celebrities can kind of come and go as they please a little bit. But in LA, as much as there are celebrities everywhere, because everyone is a celebrity now, I don't know. You know, even in LA, it's, you still kind of get this attention. I don't know. And in Nashville, you know, we see Nicole Kidman, Keith Urban out all the time. And we see, you know, and it's just like, it's very, it's really low key here. I really like that. There's an effortlessness about this city I really like.
And there's
really
something
like.
About, so like moving to New York City, it's like everyone's perception of when I say I'm from Tennessee, they think I'm from a farm. You know, it's like, I'm from Murfreesboro. It's a college town. There are a lot more rock and roll bands than like country bands.
Oh,
like,
totally. There's a good music scene in Murfreesboro for sure.
Yeah. And so it's just, it's always been trying to like dispel the stereotypes that are like cemented in stone from 20 years ago, and your style on Project Runway, I think that's why I connected with it so much. It's like, oh, you're dressing girls that I hung out with in college.
Exactly. Yeah, the rocker girls that kind of like knew about all types of music, but yeah, they and the beauty of it now, my other job as a stylist, I may have country artists, but you know, the country artists I work with, they, you know, they just want to look like rock bands because they feel like rock bands, you know, so it's it works.
Well, and there's so much crossover in that, like, I don't know, we're in like in the year 2020, what even is a genre, you know? Like,
exactly, which I kind of love.
Yeah,
I love that it's all blurring.
Everyone just makes the music that they want to make. Like, I don't know anything about Kacey Musgraves until, which is, you know, as a gay Southerner, what's my problem? But
I know, seriously, get on it.
Yeah, but I watched her Christmas special on Amazon. That was my really first exposure to her.
Oh, and
I was
really?
Like, oh my God, she's amazing.
She's incredible. And that record, actually, made by a friend of mine that lives here. He produced the record. It's an incredible record.
Yeah.
It's an amazing record.
And, like, that is an example of, like, that blurs a lot of, like, her original Christmas songs have a Motown flair to them that you wouldn't expect from a country album. It's very cool.
Yeah.
So, like, where were you when Project Runway Season 1 dropped? Like, that's, like, November 2004, I guess. Was it on your radar?
So, absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. I watched every season. So, 2004. So, I was still living in Los Angeles. I grew up in Nebraska, but I moved out to L.A., right when I graduated college, and I was just desperate to figure out what to do with a fashion design degree.
Oh, wow. Wait, where did you go to college? Where'd you have?
University of Nebraska.
They have the good fashion program?
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. It's a kind of, I'm glad I got this kind of education. I don't have a Bachelor of Arts. I have a Bachelor of Science. So it's, you know, I took statistics and accounting and chemistry and textile science and, you know, historical quilt study and costume history. And it was a very well-rounded education,
cool.
And in-state tuition. That's the real reason I went there.
Yeah. I mean, I went to college 20 minutes from my parents' house. So.
Yeah. Well, no, same. I mean, I worked full time the whole time I was a janitor.
Oh.
I worked full time the whole time I was in college, and I graduated with no debt. Like,
yep.
You know, that was, that's how you did things.
Did
back
you have
then,
like a cool jumpsuit look?
Oh my God. I had the worst outfit. It was like pull on elastic polyester pants and a striped polyester, like short sleeve button down.
So bad.
Oh God. Yeah.
But yeah, so season one Project Runway drops and your world changes, I imagine.
well, and not in a way of like, oh, I'm going to be on that show, but I was just like, oh, now people can see like what I do, because before then I felt like it was just such a mystery how people created collections or how people could, you know, just create a dress. And I was so thrilled that I could be like, oh, that's what I do.
Yeah.
And I was doing it for commercials and, you know, I've been styling ever since then. Oh my gosh, for over 15 years. That's crazy. But, and the way I kind of sold myself in Los Angeles, just desperately trying to get assistant jobs and trying to learn something, I said, hey, I am probably the only assistant in LA that can sew. So if there's something that you need made and it doesn't exist, I can make it. And that's how I got into styling. And so I don't know. It just felt like I was like, oh, these are my people.
Yeah.
You know, like, yeah, like I understand these people. And yeah, I never for a second in the beginning thought about going on. I just watched as a fan and was obsessed. And, yeah.
Yeah. So when season 11 rolls around, like, how do you get on the show? I mean, like, that's a full, I don't know, like, God, what is it? Like 8 years later, 8 or 9 years later, like you've been working that entire time. Like,
yeah. Well, the first time I auditioned was probably for season. Ooh, let me think about this. Maybe season 7 or 8.
Okay.
I think. Yeah. So I actually auditioned 3 times before I made it on season 11. And what's really funny is there was one season I didn't get on that I really thought I would. And I came back the next season to audition and the casting director was the same. And she said, hey, can I just be honest with you? Like, did you watch last season? And I said, yeah. And at the time I had black, jet black hair and short black bangs. That was the style of the day.
Yeah.
And they said, hey, so do you remember how there were two women on that season that had jet black hair and short black bangs? And I was like, yeah. And she goes, I mean, I hate to say it, but that's why you didn't make it. And so when I got cast for 11, they were like, hey, stay blonde, stay really blonde. Like, don't change it, because they kind of have a, you know, they have a puzzle to put together. And so, yeah, you really, it helped me not take anything personally. It was like, right, like they're trying to put a cast together where everyone's different. And
it's not so much it is a talent show and also a reality TV show at the same time.
Still a TV show.
Yeah, and it's still like, you know, even if you're the best seller, it's just like you are the spitting image of someone else in this cast, and it's just going to be confusing for viewers. Although eventually, like in season, I think 13 is when they started like putting the names of the designers on the screen, like in big big text over and over again.
We are individuals, remember our names.
So like you were on season 11 and I had Joe Siegel on.
Joe.
Season 1, and he was also in season 11. And season 11 is, you know, it's unlike any other season in the show because it was all team challenges.
Oh, it was a train wreck. Everybody hated it.
Yeah.
Everyone hated it. The fans hated it. We hated it. It was horrible. Such a bad idea.
Yeah. It definitely resulted in some, like, you know, the top looks of the week were on like a losing team, so therefore they didn't get to win. And it's just like hard to. And I was like going through your looks from your season 11 stuff.
Oh, God.
So like there is an interesting symmetry between your first look in season 11 and your first look in season 13. Because they are both like definitely your girl. So it is cool that your very first look on Project Runway is your girl, and then the second week is the Susan Sarandon ping pong challenge.
Oh God, that was, I didn't know what to do. I was like, what? I don't know. Black dress? Great.
Yeah. Like, well, so like, what was the vibe on set after you find out, oh, it's all going to be teams? Like, I imagine everyone is frantically trying to figure out what the hell that even means.
Well, no, I think everyone understood it instantly and was super bummed. And I am an introvert to the ultimate degree, and and I just thought, oh, this is gonna be so rough. And I at that moment I remember, I mean, because we found out on camera, you know, that was a real reaction, and I just, the first thought was, should I just leave? Like, I was like, this is not gonna be good for me.
I mean, it would have been iconic. It would have been instantly iconic.
Just been like, I'm out of here.
Well, I mean, I'm trying to think, like, did you have any favorite looks of yours from that first, from season 11 that you did?
Oh, man, you know, I really did like the Miranda Lambert challenge.
Yeah, that's the one I was going to point out.
Like, I loved that one.
Well, was that challenge tailored specifically to you?
Well, I didn't win. Yeah, you would have thought so. I thought maybe I would, you know, I thought maybe it would work for me, but... I don't know. That was fun because I actually used jewelry they had and like sewed it into the neckline of the dress. And that was kind of fun. And the fringe thing is a thing I had been doing. I've kind of stopped doing it. But for years, that was, I mean, I had entire collections based around that, like that fringe idea.
Yeah.
So that was fun. I thought, oh, this is the perfect chance to, you know, show that off. I loved it. I loved it. I stand by that look.
Well, it's a killer look. You're also high on the duct tape challenge.
Oh yeah, I give Michelle most of the credit for that. Because looking back at it, it was very much like more her aesthetic than it was mine. I think the pattern and like the graphicness of it was very me, but the dress design was very her, and so. You know, and she won for that, which I totally am like, yeah, she deserved to win for that. Yeah. You know,
well, and so I also, so the one that you were low on, the unconventional hard and soft, the flowers and
I loved that dress.
Which, that
so
dress
whatever.
Is amazing.
It's the cutest. I was doing this whole like a cutesier nod, and like I said, I'm like obsessed with costume history. It was like a cutesier nod to these dresses that Yves Saint Laurent did in like, oh gosh, maybe 68. I can find the exact dress, but he did these little beaded, intricately beaded like shift dresses. So I was kind of doing like a cutesier, like I had a thing in mind. And,
yeah. But it's also,
I don't know.
It's made out of like nails and like and astroturf, basically. Like,
exactly. So hello.
It's perfect for that. Like,
exactly. Well, that's interesting. I'm like, hard and soft. There we go.
So on the show, when you were given those challenges, when do you make the connection between, like, oh, it's a flower store and hardware challenge, I'm going to go Yves Saint Laurent? Like, where do those inspirations come into play?
You know, I think the hardware part of it inspired me a lot more than the floral part of it.
Yeah.
Just because I'm a little more graphic than I am feminine and soft and whatever. But I actually said on the show that I hated flowers, which is hilarious, because I got like the one piece of hate mail I ever got. was from a florist that was like, how dare you?
Oh my God.
It's like, I'm sorry. I'm just not really into flowers. So I just immediately thought about all the like weird little trinkety things from the hardware store that could kind of look like beading or fringing, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. That just popped into my head right away. And I wish I would have had more time to like implement more of it, but
yeah.
I didn't.
So I don't know how much we want to spend on the Thunder from Down Under episode.
Oh, jeez.
But this comes down to a thing that, you know, this is... I want Project Runway to do a challenge of season 19 that is just, hey, everybody, you have 2 days to make an Oxford collar button-down shirt.
Seriously.
Because I, like, when you look at menswear, menswear just in general is so much more tame and conservative and, like, traditional silhouettes that have been in play for 50 years. And you just assume, well, it cannot be harder than, like, an avant-garde dress or...
No, it is.
And that's the thing, is like, every single season of Project Runway, we're always reminded, no, just making a basic-ass button-down shirt is a fucking nightmare.
Well, and what you have to remember is, like, most of us, my college training, and then what I went into after, we never explored menswear. And most traditional, like, you know, fashion programs... You don't really go into that. That's something you specialize in. So, like, it's true. Like, I could do it now because now I've worked with clients. But, you know, I have no idea. Well, in my pants that I made, I will say, I just made a silly mistake. My mistake was I made these pants, and before applying the tearaway Velcro, I didn't add seam allowances. So that's why they were splitting open, because I just forgot. It was just a stupid mistake. They were just too small and they wouldn't stay on. So
I also feel like you also have nothing to be ashamed of in that episode, because that's like the only episode in Project Runway history where no one won. Like
I know. I think that kills me all the time. I'm like, the challenge I get sent home on, no one won. Like, so it's also kind of nice. It's like, you know what?
It's kind of a thing like, you went home, like, we all sucked this week. It's just for some reason, arbitrarily, you're going home is kind of...
Yeah. Yeah. And then it comes into TV, and I just kind of like was sad and gave up and fought a little, and they were like, eh, she doesn't have any fight left in her, you know?
But it's also, that's a hard, because, like, making menswear is also hard, but then also making menswear that, one, has to be for Thor, like, has to be for huge Australian muscle men. And then second, has to be tearaway.
His thighs are the size of our traditional model's waist.
Yeah.
He had 24-inch thighs, which, you know, a sample size New York model is a 24-inch. So it was just... It was a hell of a challenge.
So like you said, like, since then you actually have worked with more like male clients and like making, do you still have flashbacks to that or have you put it in the past?
It's all forgotten. I've drank that memory away over the years. I refuse to let it stop me now.
Yeah. Well, what does
I rarely make menswear, but I do a lot of alterations. I've done a couple of commercials, you know, where there was a Verizon commercial I worked on where I had to make like futuristic space waiters and
oh wow
yeah that were in a space restaurant. Anyway, So yeah, so I can figure it out a little bit better now, but it's also I have a little bit more time too.
Well, we all know who your girl is. What would you say your guy is when you're like styling guys? Like, do you have an archetype that you go to of like who your guy is?
Well, my guy does like a really good mix of vintage and new, and that's my favorite thing to play around with. There's a band I work with that, you know, will have like really slick, beautiful All Saints jeans and like gorgeous, you know, Varvatos boots or whatever. But then I like to go to a couple of vintage shops we have in town and find, you know, like the perfect vintage denim jacket with like weird patches on it, or, you know, so I like that combination of he's like 70% classic American hunk, like, you know, Steve McQueen or like Marlon Brando, James Dean. But then he's like 30% kind of like punk rock, you know?
Yeah. Oh, that's good math right there. What are your favorite, what are your favorite vintage stores in Nashville? Just so I can also remember next time I get to leave my apartment, which who knows when that'll be.
All right. Well, yeah, we'll see. Yeah. There is a place I pull from all the time called High Class Hillbilly.
That's great.
That's owned by actually a musician. Her name's Nikki Lane. She's really great. She has just beautiful pieces. Mm. There's another place called Black Shag Vintage, super rock and roll, like the most extensive collection of like rock and roll t-shirts you've ever seen. And then the Standard, they've been around forever, is a place called Hip Zipper. And
I remember Hip Zipper.
They have everything.
Yeah.
They have everything. I don't even. Yeah.
That took me back to my.
Yeah,
my
man.
College
They're
days.
Still around.
God.
They're still around.
Yeah, wow. Mm-hmm. Wow. I mean, we would just always go to the Goodwill all the time. Like, that was.
I know. Goodwill's not what it used to be.
Yeah. Well, and it was always hard for me. Like, I got weird proportions, so it was always hard for me to find. But, So you were on 11, then you come back for 13. Like, what happens while season 12 is going on? What are you doing? Like, what happens from like when you go home on Project Runway to when they bring you back?
Man, they brought me back kicking and screaming. No. I went back to what I was doing, still styling, but what that show also gave me, which was, it was just an audience. So I started, my line had been around. I'd always been selling stuff back in the day. I sold on Etsy but I just had a bigger audience. So I was really busy selling t-shirts and little, you know, color block mini dresses and jewelry, you know. I mean, I was busy.
Yeah.
And so it just gave me a lot of confidence that even though I didn't win or, you know, only made it halfway, I just, you know, after the ego bruising healed, I was like, oh wait, you know, I still have a business. I still have a following. People are still kind of checking me out. Like, this is great. So it was nice to come back to 13, like so much more confident and so much more like, I don't know.
Well, you're also
not so thirsty for it.
Yeah. Well, you're also, you know? You were brought back by the fans as well. Like, it was like a fan vote kind of deal.
Really, man? Well, and I'm really transparent about it. Like, my brother is in a really popular rock band, and he retweeted it. And so I'm like, okay, cool. How many people were my fans and how many people were my brother's fans?
You know, if you look at seeing how the season plays out, it made the right choice.
Yeah. I'm glad I at least proved that I deserved that spot. Cause I was kind of like, well, I mean, but I also was like, if I'm going to do it, you know, I wanted to come back on. I wanted another shot. I really did. It wasn't even as much about winning, but just about doing a better job being comfortable on TV, which I really wasn't the first time around.
Yeah.
And just showing my stuff a little bit better, you know, like showing my girl.
And you totally, you totally do. Cause you know, high in the first week, you win the second week.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you make that amazing, like, cool futuristic neon green and black, like out of the movie stuff. Like,
I loved that. That was fun.
Do you approach working with unconventional materials the same way as you would anything else, or is it like a whole different mindset?
Well, yes and no. Yes, in that I want these things to perform as traditional materials would. But the thing I knew that was the most important just from watching the show, not only just being on the show, was that I knew that I had to like transform the items so they didn't look like the items.
Exactly.
I knew that was like, that's the crucial thing, so that people are like, wait, what is that? What is that? You know? So I knew that I had to do a lot of handwork to make that happen.
Yeah. Now, I want to talk about because after that you had the future, the like, what is like 15 years in the future challenge.
Oh, yeah.
But like, so, which is such a mirror image to later on the season when you guys did the like, here's a bracelet that's worth $1 million,
yeah,
design a look around it. So like that future challenge, you do kind of a, you know, like black separates with like a sheer overcoat on top,
yep,
of it. And then you do the same thing again. But first of all, I love both of them.
Me too.
I do not know why they threw that weird shade at you where it's like, I always hate it when they're like, you should be happy you have immunity this week.
I was like, come on, like, it is not that bad.
No, it was great. But you can see it's a really cool example of seeing how, like, you know, first draft versus the elevation.
Oh, totally.
Is that what you went into when you did the jewels challenge? Like, I want to do this again, but like, just knock it out of the park. Make them eat their,
yes,
words or whatever.
Absolutely. Well, I just had this idea in my head and I knew that it was a good idea. I knew it was a good idea. And the first time I did it, I liked it just fine. I definitely thought I was like safe. You know, I thought,
yeah,
I don't know if it'll win, but it's solid. So the second time around, I realized I needed to like, I couldn't get the idea out of my head, and I just had to do it. So it was kind of a risk, and I honestly, when I did the, you know, designer bracelet challenge, I really thought I might be in the bottom, because I just thought they're going to see this and be like, who are you kidding? You're just trying to do it again, you know.
How dare
but
you?
But I really loved it, you know, and I just thought it was fresh, and I think the difference in between the first and second time I did that kind of concept was the second time I just pushed it further.
Yeah.
And made it even more glamorous and insane, made it a jumpsuit, made it a full length, you know.
Yeah.
So I think that's something I learned in college when one of my professors, Dr. Trout, shout out to you.
Yeah.
She always said, like, you know, have you taken this far enough? Did you take it far enough? And there's always, you know, the idea of pulling back, or, you know, Coco Chanel taking off one accessory, and I don't totally believe in that.
No.
I kind of believe in the opposite. So
yeah,
I was like, yeah,
on.
But have I gone far enough?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, I can't believe I haven't actually talked about, you mentioned a professor. You had a professor essentially on the show, Tim Gunn, coming in and giving you advice every single week. I mean, how did your relationship with Tim change between 11 and 13? Did it change a bit? Since he already
absolutely
knew you, basically?
Yeah, but I think on 11, I was a little bit more withdrawn, and I guess I lacked the confidence to think I was owed any of his time, you know? I mean, really, like, I know, it's so silly, but I was just so, like, didn't want to pester him too much, and
yeah,
I was so much more comfortable in 13, and I think we developed a really sweet, sweet friendship.
Yeah.
And I haven't talked to him in a while, because I always figure that the further along it goes, he's got plenty of other people to catch up with. But for years after, we kept in touch.
Oh.
I was in New York one time, and we went to the Met and spent the day at walking around,
oh,
and then
God,
had lunch and talked about this book. And then 2 weeks later, the book showed up on my front door with a little note. You know, I mean, he is as wonderful as he's more wonderful than you would think. Like,
so,
we had a genuine friendship. I just, he's an incredible man.
I guess I will tell my Tim Gunn story, that, so I was in, so I, for his birthday last year, birthday 2019, I wrote a piece called Tim Gunn is the most important figure in all of reality television, which I fully believe in, that, like, in terms of like queer representation, having a
absolutely
gay man of his generation, of which there aren't a lot left,
right,
being put in a mentorship role that is not defined by him being gay or even like really that vocal about it. And being so like warm and genuine, like, he's not a TV star. He is Tim Gunn. Like, he's this own thing. So I was like, this is why he's important. And then I got invited to go to the Making the Cut, his new Amazon show, the Finale Runway. So I go, and they specifically say, like, Tim loved your piece. And so, like, when they introduce me, they say, this is Brett who wrote the nice thing about you. And he immediately, like, I think he grabbed me by both of my shoulders and said,
Yep, that
I
makes
loved
sense.
That piece. If I could get it engraved on my tombstone, I would.
Which
for me was just like this, like, that is, like, such a great compliment, but also very grim, but also great.
I know. Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Talking to me all night, like, even from the runway while they were shooting, he would see me in the audience and, like, wave at me or say, like, hello, Brad. And I'm like, you're taping. Stop. Like, this is.
What was really cool when we went out to lunch and, you know, had a couple glasses of rosé. And we were just kind of talking about his life and his history, you know, in sculpture in DC and, you know, past relationships and stuff. And he was really opening up. And it was so fascinating to me that he was talking about his life the way that we all talk about our lives, which is like in a series of failures. You know what I mean?
Wow, yeah.
That's just kind of how we talk. You know, I'll say like, well, you know, I moved here and then, you know, well, then I got a divorce and then, well, then I got kicked off this show. When really somebody else would be thinking like, no, this is amazing. You were on this amazing story. You know, the way we think about our lives versus the way people looking in. I don't know.
The way Tim Gunn talks about the contestants, he doesn't talk that way about himself.
Yeah.
But that's how people are.
That's how people do it. Yeah. We kind of tend to talk in failures, and it just really humanized him. And I just thought, wow, what a humble.
Cool. So like,
very cool.
You definitely didn't have a reason to be humble about your next win.
Good segue.
First of all, you did the I always love a good Project Runway sponsorship tie-in. You did the Red Robin sponsored makeover challenge, which it's not
that
as weird
made sense.
As
no.
there's the one, I think it's season 11, where they have they made them all go to the Coney Island boardwalk, try to then sell strangers Yoplait frozen yogurt, and then design looks based on adjectives people used to describe Yoplait frozen yogurt.
That sucks,
man, but that's okay. Cool. But anyway, so like, but you got this really, I mean, kind of cool but heinous, like, maroon leisure suit, like,
yes,
monstrosity. And I think your mode of attack was use as little of it as possible, like, turn it inside out. Like,
well, yeah, no, I mean, I knew I had to use a lot because I knew they'd give me shit if I didn't.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. So I just flipped it inside out and it made it a little bit better. Yeah, and then I luckily found like a corresponding kind of cool Italian, you know, knit, jacquard knit that I was like, oh, this'll, yeah.
I felt
like I was drowning most of that challenge, but it sure turned out okay. Thank God.
Yeah. And it really is an example of like your girl again, like,
yeah,
it just makes so much sense with your aesthetic. So, like, while you're doing the season, how often are you thinking about, are you at all thinking about, like, what your finale runway show would look like if you got to it? Or are you so focused on the week to week that that's just, like, out of your mind?
You know, I don't think I was thinking about the finale collection at all, honestly. Now, I've nobody's ever asked me that question. I don't think I was. No, yeah. Not at all. Not at all. I mean, there was plenty, my brain was full. Yeah. And you know, you really just have to take it challenge by challenge or your head will explode. So
it's also so weird that like every reality show that's based on a skill is always like, these are not normal circumstances. Under no circumstances would someone be like, you have 30 minutes to find materials and then you have 18 hours to make a thing and then we're going to judge you and then
You know what? I will say, to be honest, in my styling career, I actually have had those.
Oh, man.
I will say that I definitely like those, you know, futuristic waiters I was talking about. I definitely had to make those overnight.
Oh,
so,
God.
You'd
so this
be
is
surprised.
Good prep. Good prep, yeah.
Yeah. It actually has happened to me quite a few times. Yeah.
You also had, so like the end, well, I feel like the last, well, the next to last big challenge of that season was that like you all had to bid on storage lockers and get more found materials.
Oh, yeah.
And basically do a mini collection of three looks. And like those three looks together, like the cool separates, like neon pink thing. And then mm-hmm. also like the shirt that you made out of that painting with like the big kind of like flowy, just how, when you are, when you're faced with a task of like come up with a mini collection with a partner overnight, how much like self-editing are you doing? Or are you just like, going with like whatever you draw? Like,
no, we actually Keeney and I for that one specifically did a ton of editing, and we really had to reconfigure some things last minute, and Tim was actually a huge help. I can't remember the problem we came up against. I think some of our, like, I think that hot pink separate thing like came very late in the game. I kind of threw that one together because something wasn't working. But yeah, it's I think it's easier when you're by yourself to do something cohesive.
Yeah.
And Keeney and I are very different designers, but we love each other till the ends of the earth, and just so we could work through it. You know, we were definitely like frustrated, but never with each other, so that was good. but yeah, that one was tough. I love how it ended up, but there were just certain things that we knew had to happen. Keeney knew he was going to make the soccer ball dress, and I knew I was needed to have that Yeti outfit. We called him the psychedelic Yeti.
So
it was just like figuring out how those exist in the same world, and it was, you know, adding a cool bomber to the dress, or you know, it's just like, okay, she's, yeah, it was just like figuring out you know, they're cousins, not sisters. Like,
yeah,
making sure these looks, the same girl would wear them, but like not necessarily on the same night. So right. Yeah.
Also, like, you make it to the finale and you get to do a finale collection. Now, this is not your first collection you've done,
right?
Because did you also show at the 11 finale as like a decoy?
Yeah, I was a decoy.
Because this is the thing I learned doing this that project, because I pull all my images from Getty Images. And Project Runway fans, if you are curious, you can go and you will see three or four collections every season that did not show, and it's super cool.
Yeah, to be able to see, it's like, kind of fun,
these deleted scenes. So like, when you, just in general, and this is also like even since Project Runway, how do you approach a collection? Like, what is your take? Because there's like, everything must be super cohesive, or everything, you know, has to follow the same vibe, or it can just be all over the place. What's your preferred mode of attack on that?
Well, you know, this is one case, especially with this collection, where I had been making collections for years, but this is one collection where I kind of simplified my thoughts. I remember when Tim came to visit me and I showed him, okay, I'm going to get this fabric printed and I'm going to do this and this and this. I basically had like, you know, three or four acts within one collection.
Yeah.
And he said, you're overthinking it. Like, what are your main dresses? And then kind of like riff on those. Mm. So he's kind of, and I've gone even further down that path as the years have gone on, of like not trying to show you everything I can make in 10 different things, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I've kind of accepted now that, like, you know what? I make maxi dresses. I make big, bright maxi dresses. And so, you know, for a long time, I was like, no, I've got to have separates. I've got to have this. I've got to have all this.
Dress, bathing suit.
Oh my gosh. And I've understood that the, you know, successful brands kind of say like, hey, here are like the couple things we do.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'm like, oh, I understand that now.
Well, people know what they're coming for, right?
Yeah. Like, people know to come to me for this. And, you know, for so long, I was just trying to give them everything, which I'm just not good at everything.
Like, yeah, that's a part of success, is realizing. Focus on what you're good. You're also great at jewelry design, because that was the other, piece from your finale collection, was just all the jewelry, which you still also, design.
Yeah, I do what I can now. Like, luckily, I had the budget for that. here's my thing. I get really uncomfortable making pieces that I couldn't afford myself.
Mm-hmm.
That's really what it comes down to. And so I loved making that jewelry, and I collaborated with a local designer, you know, someone to make it. And by the time we priced them out, like, nothing was below like $300. And, you know, most of it was $600. The giant necklace was like $1,200 retail. Wow. And I don't know.
That's 100%. That is the problem that I have as someone that's trying to get more into, like, you know, I've been a mall brands person for a long time, and now I'm trying to, like, level up to be like shopping at like Drake's or like looking at like Mr. Porter and like cool menswear things. And it's just like, I don't know who they think I am that I can afford a $300 button down shirt. Like,
yeah. And that's just, I mean, and I, you know, there are enough people in that space. Like, I, you know, that price range doesn't need me. And so I've had a lot of fun trying to figure out like ways that I can piece things together myself, because I want the kind of cool girl that I dress, like, she has a creative career, and she also just has different priorities.
Yeah.
You know, and I've never been super into bougie fashion. I've never really been into labels. And so, you know, although I wish I could have a handcrafted jewelry line made every year, you know, I can't afford to make it, and I can't afford to buy it. You know, it just doesn't fit with my kind of overall philosophy. So, but it was fun to do once.
Yeah, well, hey, if you got it
on somebody else's dime.
Yeah. We're also like, the expectation for all that stuff is not like it's going to go directly to stores. Like, this is like, I'm doing this to try and win money. Damn it. Like.
Totally. Yeah. And well, I mean, I even had to like buy, so they keep, Project Runway keeps all those pieces when we're done with them. And so I had to have that jewelry maker make other pieces for me, and I had to pay for them.
Oh,
I had
wow.
to pay cost for them just so I could have my own copy.
What are they doing with them? What are they doing with all those looks?
I don't. They sell them to. Like, they auction them off, God. And they're gone forever.
Well, I guess, I mean, like, so when I interviewed Mondo for work a couple like last year, he told me, like, because I was like, oh, those, you know, those like plus sign pants you made are just like the most iconic thing ever. He was like, yeah, I love them. Do you know where I can find them? And he was like, please put it out there. So I guess I'm going to put it out there now. If anyone has eyes on those plus sign pants that he made from the print challenge, let us know, because they're a piece of history and he would like to know where they are.
Seriously, somebody bought them maybe, or they're in store. I don't, you know, it's just, yeah, it's kind of
so
funny.
So wild. Well, like, so how do you, after doing Project Runway, how do you then like transition into like the post TV life? Because, you know, you now have like website, shop, Instagram. Like, how do you forge all of that into like a 9-to-5 career? Is it a 9-to-5 career?
Well,
is it 24/7, I guess?
Yeah, more like that. I've never really been able to, I've got kind of one foot in and one foot out of the, I guess, post reality TV star world. I'm not great at, I'm not super savvy with social media. I do what I can. But, you know, the reality is that I run two businesses. I'm a wardrobe stylist, and I work on my clothing line when I can. But, you know, so I don't know. I feel like I haven't capitalized on it as much as maybe I should have. But I'm also just really happy with where I'm at. I'm really busy, and so I, you know, I do what I can.
Well, you're also like,
but I also, you know, I have bills to pay.
Yeah.
I don't have a, you know, a trust fund or, you know, so I'm just constantly hustling, really.
Yeah. Well, you're also like a big fish in a cool pond.
Yeah.
Like, Nashville is a super cool place. It's totally like within your exact aesthetic.
Yes.
I mean, what percentage of things, like when people come to you for stylist, how do you decide, like, I'm going to make you a custom thing or I'm going to go buy a thing for you? Is there actually like a push and pull with that? Do people come specifically like, we want you to make a specific thing for this singer or band or whatever?
No, I think it comes about much more naturally. Most of my clients are actually men, which is nice. So
yeah,
I style men and design for women. So I feel like I get the best of both worlds.
He don't have to make a damn like button down shirt or necktie.
I'm not doing it. But I work with 21 Pilots, and I end up kind of customizing a lot of stuff for them. So I do kind of alterations or little fixes here and there. I'll like change out a sleeve or change out a pocket, you know, so I'll do little things like that just to make it unique. So it just kind of, I don't know, it happens when it happens. It's really, I used to think I had to pick between being a designer or stylist. Now I realize they really just serve each other. And so, so it's very fluid. It's just always kind of, one takes over and then maybe I need a few skills from the other. And I don't know, it's cool like that.
Well, so like, what is your relationship with Project Runway now? I mean, like, it's back on Bravo again. I know you're friends with Brittany Allen.
Yes,
from
yes,
season 18.
I love her. Yes. I'm so proud of her.
Yeah, she's super awesome. And I totally get why y'all would be friends. When she came into my office and we talked about you.
Oh, yay!
Yeah, she's the best.
Because I think she was saying, like, you were, like, saying, like, when are you going to audition or something?
Absolutely. I'm like, get on the damn show already, girl. Yeah. Like, you are made for this. Like, not only does she have such a, like, clear vision and just such a cool aesthetic that's, like, I don't know, I just feel like she's doing, I don't know, it's really unique. It's like that, it's girly and it's cute and it's whatever, but it's got this edge to it that I really like.
It's your little sister, I think.
It's my little sister.
It's your girl's little sister, I think, is what
it is. And I'm like her disgruntled, like, older sister.
You're the Daria, and she's the Quinn. Like,
do you know how many times I've been called Daria in my life? That is not far from the truth. Oh, my God. That's hilarious. And she just has, like, personality for days.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
I also mean, like, that's... I think you also definitely had great personality for television as well. Just because there is a natural, I mean, now I'm just going to talk about you as a person. This is weird.
I love it.
It was like when people are doing talking heads on reality television, you can usually tell like if they are not comfortable or like don't, or are putting on affectation or like trying to say something like mean or like, there is something about you where it was always like naturally funny, like not there to be the star of the show, but also like know how to just like be like, here's how it goes. Straight up, straight talk. That when people would, the like few moments when it seemed like other designers were trying to stir up weird personal drama, maybe to get more airtime, you're just kind of like, I don't understand what this is.
Yeah, that's called being from a big family. It's like, I learned at a very young age, like, my voice ain't going to be the loudest. I am not going to win this argument. Like, let's just make some peace, you know?
Those are the people. The same thing, like, we've watched, like, Trixie Mattel on Drag Race. Also, when she's dropped into, like, All Stars 3, when, like, Shangela, the queen of, like, reality TV queen, knows how to manufacture the drama for, you know, make it work. Comes at Trixie with a thing, and Trixie is like from a whole different world of like, I don't know how to react to this. I'm
like, no, that doesn't work. No,
it's so great.
But
like, so like, what is? I mean, I would ask what is next for Amanda Valentine, but it's also like, what's next for any of us? Who even?
I know. I'm gonna be spending some more time at home.
Yeah. Well, where can people? I mean, like in general, I guess where can people like support your work on the internet, maybe like put dollars in the bank? Because imagine like this is
cool.
Yeah, this is not a good time for anyone that's in like the creative industries.
No. Jesus. All of us freelancers are starting to panic a little bit. Well, actually, I'm going to use this time. I have like kind of an extensive vintage collection that, and this is not something I'm really trying to promote too much, but I'm just trying to find some things to do while we're all quarantined. So I'm going to be putting some vintage pieces that I've collected over the years online. And then also I had some runway shows coming up that got canceled. And so because they won't be probably reinstated until the fall, I think I'm going to put some of those pieces that I had already made online as well. I always have new stuff. I don't really do it in seasons anymore because I never know my work schedule. So, I'm an active Instagrammer, so, you know, I'm always talking about what I'm doing on there and, you know, sharing pictures of my dog.
Good dog content. So I always
very
ask,
solid dog content.
I always ask all my guests to issue a challenge to me and the listeners, something to get us out of our comfort zone, break out of the box, try something new. And, you know, in this world, it can even not be about clothes. It could be about self-care of any sort. Do you have a challenge of any sort?
Well, I'm actually going to encourage people to get into like their own little framework, like find a little box to put yourself in. Here's what I say.
Yeah.
I love doing this for every collection, but you can do this for your own kind of personal aesthetic. If you have a Pinterest board, go through, you know, maybe get some fashion magazines, you know, rip out tear sheets, really sit down and figure out what's my uniform.
Oh, yeah.
So figure out what your uniform is. So for those days when you wake up and you know that you need to put on something other than yoga pants, you know, like I have two uniforms for when I need to go to work and I have a really early call time and I don't want to think about it. I know that I'm either going to wear a vintage t-shirt and really crazy pants and like a jean jacket, or I'm going to wear a jumpsuit. I figured out my uniform.
Good. Yes.
So, yeah, so I have like 10 versions of those two things in my closet so that I can just not think about it. And like Steve Jobs wore the same thing every day. Like Albert Einstein wore the same thing every day. So figure out like what's your go-to look so that you have more time to think about more important things.
And it's also a nice, quick and easy way to, because I've been doing that working from home. I've been getting up and I've been essentially putting on my uniform of jeans, a sport coat, a tie, some sort of crazy neckwear, and then an enamel pin and pocket square. Extra.
You've got your thing.
Yeah. And it's a nice way to start your day when you then go straight to your home office and sit and look at your computer screen and don't go anywhere.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah, but it just makes you feel a little better.
Yeah. And so, like, what is your Instagram handle? Where can people follow you on the internet? Get more content.
So it is Valentine's. Like, it's Valentine. It's time to follow me at Valentine's. That's
awesome.
Not catchy, but yeah.
I love it. Awesome. Yeah, that is it. Yeah, we did it.
All right. We did it. I'm so proud of it.
That's it for this week's episode. Take Amanda up on that challenge and figure out your uniform. Use this time of working from home to figure it out. Try things on. Try things out. Share photos if you rise to any challenge from any episode. Use the hashtag ChallengeMyLoafers and tag us on Instagram. And thanks again to my guest, Amanda Valentine. You can follow Amanda on Instagram at @Valentines. You can follow and like my loafers on Instagram for show notes, style inspiration, and more. And if you have any questions about anything, email them lightmyloafers@gmail.com or just slide into the DMs on Instagram. And please rate and review the show in Apple Podcasts. And Light My Loafers is edited by me, produced by Benjamin Regeeb, photography by Sam Walker, and graphic design by Dylan Phelps. And this week's style inspiration is Dolly Parton. Go big or go home. Thanks to all of you for listening. I'll be back next time with more questions and answers. Dang.